Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to join with me in opening our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1101. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Just to set the context a little bit, we've been seeing now 8 chapters, at least in Luke's gospel, of the miracles of Jesus, the amazing things that he was doing. And now he's sending his disciples, the apostles, out to do the very same things that he was doing. And so these are his instructions as he sends out these apostles. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so we have seen in our reading here from Luke how much a part it was, not just of the ministry of Jesus, but when he sent his apostles out, how much healing was a part of their own ministry. To go out among the people to proclaim the kingdom of God is upon us, the kingdom of God is at hand, and as a proof or an affirmation of the truth of that message, God sent signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles. And so they had these amazing things happening, which of course draws a crowd. And so he gave them power and authority over not only unclean spirits, but over all the diseases. And that power, we're told, that Jesus says later in John's gospel, was given to all who believe in him. That we will do the same things that he did, and even greater things, because he was going to go to the Father and send his Holy Spirit upon us. So this was not only a ministry that was important in healing, as far as healing goes, important to the ministry of Jesus. It was an important part of the ministry of the early church. And I believe an important part, in some respects, a forgotten part of the ministry of the church today. Looking back at what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, we're told in our reading from chapter 4, Peter and John were taken before the council because they had healed this guy who was paralyzed. And so they come back, they're let out, and they have this prayer, and they're praying to God, stretch out your hand to heal. And to signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And later on in chapter 5, verse 12, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. This was a regular thing, that they were going out proclaiming the message, and then these amazing things were happening. Primarily, people being healed physically. And so this was a very important part, and I had shared, I was really convicted by this about, I don't know, maybe 9 months ago, I guess it's been now, that Jesus did not tell the disciples or the church to pray for healing or ask for healing. He said, heal them. Heal the people. It's a command. And so at that point, I started changing what I was praying for before. And now at communion, I just lay a hand on those who wish to receive it. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I just felt convicted that such an important part, as the scriptures indicate to us, of the ministry of the church is to heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose for that, I believe, is the ministry ultimately is bringing other people into the kingdom. It's pretty impressive when we received and experienced the power of God in our own lives for healing, that we then are overwhelmed with a sense of the presence of God, the power of God, and the peace of God, that we can't help but go out to people around us and say, let me tell you about the power of God to heal. And it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. This is absolutely a very important part of the gospel message. We have this power and the manifestation of the signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, which is very important, by the way, because we're told in the end times there will be signs and wonders done by many to deceive the elect, if that's possible. So we always need to ask ourselves, where is this power coming from? In the name of Jesus Christ. So we pronounce the gospel, we share that truth of salvation in the name of Jesus, and God then affirms that message by the signs and wonders, particularly the healing of people. And so this is an important part, and this is why I've been stressing it in my own ministry, and particularly what we do here in Holy Communion, praying for people to be healed. And I believe that, in fact, is happening. Just to remind you some of the teachings that we've done before, is that when we speak of healing, generally people think of physical healing. I would argue that is the least of the kinds of healing in terms of priorities from God's point of view. First and foremost, it is spiritual healing. There's also emotional healing, healing of our emotions, our feelings. There's also mental healing, healing of our brains, how we think, and the processing even of thought, I believe, happens. There's also healing of the will, a strengthening of the will is something that God grants as far as healing. And then, of course, there's also then the physical healing, yes, the aches and pains, the diseases, the sicknesses that we have. This is part of the plan of God and the purpose of God and the power of God being manifested in the church, and I believe it's absolutely for the church today, particularly in these times, because this is what will draw other people to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we keep this ever before us, the importance of this ministry and this healing, and we come to this healing with the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that as was true for Jesus, so is true in the early church, so is true for the church today. Now, when we talk about healing, inevitably, again, we focus on this physical healing. And I absolutely believe that when I pray over people or anyone prays over someone else in the name of Jesus, there is a power that's being released. I've thought many times that people think of healing in terms of just total healing. And of course, that doesn't always happen. And so I've thought of, instead of saying being healed in the name of Jesus, to say being strengthened in the name of Jesus. Because I thought, well, maybe that softens a little bit and helps people better, you know, say, well, okay, just you didn't pray for me to be healed, just pray for me to be strengthened. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture, Jesus didn't say go out and strengthen the people. He said go out and heal them. So I'm sticking to the words of scripture, and I trust the rest of it to God. But he said go out and heal the people, pronounce that healing, and I believe God will honor that. And so it's I believe, something that we experience in degrees. I believe whenever we pray, there's always some kind of spiritual healing, some spiritual strengthening. We are just strengthened spiritually. I believe there's always some kind of emotional healing, some kind of mental healing in how we change our thoughts and thinking, a strengthening of the will. And yes, I believe somehow, some way, there's always some kind of a strengthening of us physically. Now, the issue of physical healing particularly, because that's what we seem to, you know, be most interested in, and that's a very human thing, and that's okay. But we've talked repeatedly in the past about those things that are obstacles to healing. First and foremost is the obstacle of faith. The power that we are pronouncing in the name of God is being pronounced in the name of Jesus Christ. And so as the outlines that we've given, is the first and foremost is that people come to faith in Jesus Christ and profess a faith that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Because that's where the power is coming from. It's coming from the name of Jesus. If they don't believe in the name of Jesus, how can we pray for them in that name? Well, certainly Jesus did it, so I'm not saying we don't do that. But I hope we understand that one of the first things we want to do with someone is make sure that they're saved spiritually, their soul is saved, particularly, I would say, before we start praying for physical healing. Because physical healing, in that respect, if the soul is not saved, you know, what is of much more value? You know, as Jesus said, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, because it's much better to go through life blind than to spend eternity in the fires of hell. And so first and foremost, it is salvation and the faith that someone has. Secondly, I would say, is the obstacle of sin. Is there unconfessed sin in our lives? Now, this isn't any kind of sin, because we're always sinning just because we're something less than Jesus, right? We're not perfect. This is kind of notorious sin. If we have some kind of notorious, flagrant sin in our lives, don't expect the healing power of God to be poured upon us. Another one I would say is huge is unforgiveness. People in the healing ministry talk about how an obstacle this is. If you're harboring unforgiveness towards any other person, we need to forgive that person in order for the healing power to go, in order for the Spirit not to be quenched in our lives. So unforgiveness is absolutely huge. And then, of course, there's the involvement with the occult. Ouija boards, seances, things that we've done, even horoscopes. Because what happens is these things open up the spiritual doorways. And as the woman who is held in bondage by Satan for 18 years, you need to first address that bondage, address that deliverance. Find out when that spiritual door was open. Repent of it. If we were ever involved, say, in playing with a Ouija board, Father, I repent of my sin, of the occult. I ask your forgiveness. I receive that forgiveness, and then I close that spiritual doorway by the Holy Spirit. And then we pray for healing. Okay, so when I come before you at the altar rail here and I'm praying, you know, healing and be healed, be healed, if we've got this obstacle, particularly the occult, that power is not going to flow because, in a sense, those evil spirits have a right to be where they are. We've opened up that doorway. Now, all of these, I believe God will reveal to us what is the issue. If there's something blocking healing in our lives, I believe God will reveal that to us. So things of the occult are a huge obstacle. And then finally, there's this intergenerational issue. Sometimes there's things that are passed down from one generation to the next. We need to identify that, pray that God would reveal that to us if it is, and then we pray against it, particularly if there's anything spiritual that's being passed down from generation to generation. So these are the obstacles that we've talked about in the past. As we're praying for healing, I absolutely believe that if we've gone through these obstacles, and it's not difficult, it's not magic, whatever, it's just the words of just repentance, primarily repentance, of these things that we've been involved with, to remove these obstacles to God's power of His Holy Spirit to bring healing. So if we go through these on a regular basis, then we expect that God is going to heal us. Physically, I think at least a strengthening will happen. But absolutely, I believe spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, there's a healing, a power that's going to be released in us every time we ask for it. Now, I want to address an issue that, of course, comes up whenever we talk about healing, is, okay, what about those who are not healed physically, particularly believers? This is an important issue, particularly in light of our passing yesterday of our dear sister, Marianne Prophet. I know you're not supposed to have favorites in a church. Marianne was one of our favorites. I don't think I just speak for myself. I think I speak for Elizabeth. Marianne was just really, really special. She was just happy and positive, and you know, we talked about that with the family this week, and just so full of life, and Wednesday nights, it was just wonderful. She'd ask these wonderful questions that others were just dying to ask, but they wouldn't. And she was just so open and so honest because she was hungry for the Word of God and the truth. And then she would tell how she'd be in her shop and she would be sharing with people like, aren't you getting ready? Don't you know something's happening? And what an evangelist she turned out to be. What a warrior. And how fitting, somebody mentioned to me, how fitting that she would pass on Veterans Day. Yeah, as God's warrior. And so Marianne was a favorite, and Marianne was not healed. Did we pray for her healing? Absolutely. I certainly think, too, as we've gone through these obstacles, I know Marianne had gone through those obstacle prayers to remove any obstacles. So what happened with Marianne? Why wasn't she healed physically? I think the answer to that is for us to think of looking at this not from our worldly point of view, but from God's point of view. What does Marianne's crossing over mean for God? It means my child has come home. It's like, you know, with kids goes off to summer camp, you know, and they're gone for a week or two, right? How anxious we are until they come back home to be with us. It's like, oh, I can't wait. You know, tomorrow they're coming home. And that's what it is for God, this great homecoming. You know, his daughter has come home. He's been waiting a long time. And what joy there is in heaven, all the other ancestors there, you know, parents and so forth, the joy that they have of coming home and being there. And so from God's point of view, we look at what is death? Because from the world's point of view, it's the absolute worst possible thing that can happen. But from God's point of view, we heard it in our psalm this morning, Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you think the world can accept a message like that? Absolutely not. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because it's a homecoming. He's been longing for them to come home. And so they have. Another scripture verse I think is very important. It was very important to Debbie and I when our son crossed over. And this is Isaiah 57. The righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness. To walk in their uprightness, to walk in the glory, in the new heavenly body that Marianne now has. So the righteous are taken away, what? From calamity. They enter into peace. They rest in their beds who walk in uprightness. There's this sense that we pray, I'm not sure we realize it, but I've shared it before. Every Sunday we say the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That translation can also be save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. One of the things that always impressed me with Marianne was how much she kept up on world events. And she would wonder, and you know, we talk about this on Wednesday night, you know, what about the stuff that's happening and what's happening to our country? What's happening to the world? What's happening with people? What's happening in the church? And these would really weigh on her hearts. And she would share that at the shop. People would come in, they'd say, wake up, people. Wake up. Do you realize the season that we are in? And she had a great burden on her heart for what was going to be coming upon the world and upon our nation. Well, what has happened now? Marianne has been delivered from the time of trial. She's been delivered from evil. It's like, wow. Wow. Lord, save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. God answered that prayer in this way, I believe, for Marianne. Whatever's coming upon the world, and you see the signs are still out there, Marianne is now saved. It's like that game Sorry. Remember Sorry? You go around the board and you got to get home. And once you get up in that home spot, they can't touch you anymore. And that was the thing I always felt with our kids. If we get our kids into that home stretch so the enemy can't touch them anymore. Well, that's what Marianne is. God has delivered her from the time of trial and from all evil. Now, I have a theory about this. Would any of you like to hear my theory? Okay. I was hoping you'd say, can you imagine if you said, no, we don't want to hear it, Don. I believe in the rapture. You know, we interpret the rapture in many different ways. It's specific in the scriptures. Sometimes if people are going to be taken up. Specifically, probably the most specific is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Talking about the coming of the Son of Man, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Generally, almost exclusively, I think I've seen that in the rapture, that's an instantaneous taking up. But in the last couple of weeks, as I've been praying about this, I believe that what I'm seeing is it can also be interpreted, not necessarily as an immediate, but maybe as a process. Think of those around us. You know, people say only the good die young. Well, those who are chosen, those who are blessed, I believe are being taken up. Think of the ones we've lost as we just went through All Saints Day. And we thought those throughout the last year. And what happened? They've been taken up. They're saved from the time of trial that's going to be coming upon the whole world and delivered from all evil. And so I'm thinking, okay, rapture, yes, could be spontaneous. I absolutely believe that. I believe it could also be applying, though, to those of us whom God will choose for whatever reason we don't know and will save us from the time of trial that's coming upon the world, and we will be taken up. I'm like, I could handle that. I could handle a piece of that. To be delivered from the time of trial that's coming upon the world, to be delivered from all evil, I could handle that. My father's 97 years old. He longs to go and be with the Lord. I have no desire to live to be 97. Do you see how this changes our whole outlook on what we call death? What the world says is the absolute worst thing that can happen to you. What's going to happen? Oh my goodness, he died. Or she died. Or somebody gets sick and, oh, we got to pray. Lord, don't let them die. And yet from a biblical point of view, from God's point of view, it's like, wait a minute, this is what we've been praying for. To be saved from the time of trial. Here, Lord, take me. Take me. Isn't that a joy? And some of us will be chosen for that, I believe, in the time that's ahead. And I want you to know, those of us who are going to be left behind, we're going to rejoice on your behalf, as we do now for our dear sister Mary Ann. What about those of us who are left behind? Well, there's work to be done. There's witnessing to be done. We're left behind for a reason, to witness to those. And how is God using that? Again, I think the same methodology was true in the time of Jesus, in the early church, and today. It's going to be through the powers and signs and wonders being manifested in the name of Jesus Christ. And principally, that will somehow be manifested in healings. Physical healing, not always, but certainly spiritual healing, healing of our emotions, healing mentally, healing, strengthening of the will. And yes, I believe always a strengthening somehow, some way in the physical. Even if we were to pray over someone and they were to cross over, say a week later, you'd say, oh, you prayed for healing and nothing happened. I'm just believing it always happens, even to the point of preparing someone for crossing over. There's a healing. Isn't there a strengthening? It could be happening within us. So I've heard people say, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just afraid of how I'm going to die. I believe even praying for healing for that our bodies would then be prepared for a peaceful and holy death. So even that, if somebody were to cross over the very next week, I'd say, yep, peaceful and holy. Why? Because we are praying for healing. Wait a minute, that's not healing. The person died. Oh, yes, it is. It's the ultimate healing that we all really, really long for, if we think about it. To be saved from the time of trial. To be delivered from evil? Isn't that the longing of our hearts? If we had any idea what's waiting for us on the other side, you know, it's like, beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready. If there's a bus outside leaving, I'm going to be on it. What the scriptures call a death, and that is the term it uses, it's the first death, not the second, is a true joy for the believer. And so too it is for us. So I think that's applied in two ways. One, in terms of those who have gone before us, like Mary Ann, and rejoicing and say, way to go, Mary Ann. If anybody deserves it, she did. I'm just so happy for her. Sad for the family, sad for us. So happy for Mary Ann. So as we see those around us, and I've talked to people who are older and they say, it seems like everybody around me that I know is dying. That can be tough. Unless we have the biblical point of view and says, everybody around me is going on to their eternal reward. I can't wait till my turn comes. And so I hope the other part, the application, is looking at our own mortality and saying, how long, Lord? How long? As long as I'm here, yes, I will be about the work of the kingdom. Being manifested through me, the power of God, signs and wonders, that others would see it and be drawn to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. As long as I'm here, that's the duty, that's the mission, that's the goal. Until that day that we long, that we would be one of the blessed ones And God would say, okay, here's your turn. Peaceful and holy to the glory of God. What a different way of looking at this, isn't it, than what the world does? And I would say, by and large, what many people, even in the church, do. To long to be with the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. People around us are going to be taken up and saved from the time of trial, and we will rejoice in that. Because as we put our faith in Christ, surely for those who are elected, the best is yet to come. Right? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to see death from your eyes, a homecoming. Help us to see it from the eyes of your scriptures and what you reveal, the ultimate healing. And so, Lord, today we do pray that each of us, that you would save us from the time of trial, that you would deliver us from evil. Until then, Lord, give us the grace and the power of your Spirit to be your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Help us, Lord, to overcome any obstacles in our lives, that the full power of your Holy Spirit would be manifested in us and through us with signs and wonders that would draw other people to the kingdom. For this is your glorious and eternal plan, O God. And so, Lord, we thank you for the things that you reveal to us. And we thank you in the name of He who has made it all possible, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.